They want a powerful state which serves very special and narrow interests, the ones that concern them. When you have, again, big federal deficit, this time they managed to go from a huge surplus to a big deficit. Well, when you have a deficit, you have to have what's called fiscal responsibility. That translates into cutting services for the general population, but sustaining services for a small sector, and in fact increasing them, a small sector that you're really working for. That's what happened right through the 1980s. The policies were harmful to the economy, harmed the general population. For most of the population, it was a period of stagnation and decline of wages, higher working hours, cutback in benefits, and so on. And naturally, the policies were unpopular. Now, there's a lot of, I have to say, fabrication about this, but the Reagan policies and Reagan himself were quite unpopular. So in the 1984 election, which is supposed to have been a Reagan landslide, meaning Reagan got almost 30% of the electoral vote, that's called a landslide here, if you look at the exit polls on those votes, you find that by about 3-2, voters hoped that his legislative programs would not be enacted because they opposed him. By 1992, at the end of these 12 years, Reagan ranked right next to Nixon as the most unpopular living ex-president, way below Carter and Ford, because people opposed the policies, because they were harming them. Well, how'd they manage to stay in power? By pushing the panic button. Every year, there was another threat to our existence. It started in 1981 with Libyan hitmen wandering around Washington planning to assassinate our leader, who was in the White House surrounded by tanks. On the replay this year, he was surrounded by missiles, but approximately kind of high tech. A couple of years later, Reagan was wailing about how Libya is planning to expel us from the world, no less, real danger. After that, it was Nicaragua. The Nicaraguan army was 2 days marching time from Harlingen, Texas, following a script from Mein Kampf, planning to conquer the hemisphere. United States, Reagan declared a national emergency in 1985, renewed annually, because of the threat to the security of the United States posed by the government of Nicaragua. If you take a look at that national emergency, it's approximately the same as the October 2002 congressional declaration of why we have to protect ourselves from the threat to our security posed by Saddam Hussein. Next year, it was an air base in Grenada that the Russians were going to use to bomb us, assuming they could find it on a map somewhere. After that, it was black rapists who are going to go after your daughter. That's how the 1988 election was won. Next year, there was a drug frenzy, which drove everybody into a panic. And so it went, year by year. If somebody had been watching this from Mars, they'd think it's a comic strip, if you take a look at the threats. But it happened, and it frightened people for all sorts of reasons. This happens to be a pretty frightened country. It is not difficult for unscrupulous leaders to terrify people. You could ask why, but it's a long-standing fact, and they used it. The international policies are pretty much the same, too. So the first thing the Reagan administration did, and remember, that's the current government, pretty much, when they came into office, was declare a war on terror. The war on terror was not declared on September 11th. It was redeclared. The first one was in 1981, pretty much the same rhetoric. And, of course, as anyone familiar with history could have guessed, the war on terror very quickly, in fact, instantly, became a major terrorist war. Its prime target was Central America, where it was, to a significant extent, a war against the church. And it was devastating in Central America. Countries may not recover. They were responsible for the worst terrorist atrocities in the Middle East by a long shot, far beyond their official enemies. In Southern Africa, the Reagan administration was backing South Africa, evading congressional sanctions, right through their years in office. That was a time when South Africa, backed by the United States and Britain, had killed about 1.5 million people just in the surrounding countries alone, let alone what was going on in South Africa. In 1988, when Colin Powell was National Security Advisor and the U.S. was still strongly supporting apartheid South Africa, the Nelson Mandela's African National Congress was officially condemned as one of the more notorious terrorist groups in the world. At about the same time, the United States vetoed voted against. If the U.S. votes against, it's a veto. It's the General Assembly. Voted against the strongest condemnation of terrorism that the U.N. has ever made. Strong condemnation of terrorism passed unanimously. United States and Israel opposed. Honduras abstained. And the reason they explained why they were voting against it. They were voting against it because it had a paragraph that said that nothing in this condemnation of terrorism removes the right of people to struggle against racist and colonialist regimes and foreign military occupation in accord with the Charter of the United Nations and to receive support from others for that end. Well, the U.S. and Israel wouldn't accept that. Racist and colonialist regimes meant South Africa, and foreign military occupation meant the Israeli-occupied territories. So therefore, the United States essentially vetoed the resolution. And remember, a U.S. vote against is a double veto. It blocks the resolution, even if it's otherwise unanimous. And it also vetoes it from reporting and from history. So it wasn't reported, and it's unknown. But pretty interesting if you're interested in things like international terrorism. Well, we can go on, but that's essentially the story. Now, there were some constraints in the 1980s. Namely, there was a deterrent. By the end of the 1980s, there's no deterrent. So we're on to the national security strategy. Pretty much the same policies, but now with no deterrent. And September 11th came along and was used by the United States and other violent states as a pretext. So Russia used it as a pretext for stepping up the horrendous atrocities in Chechnya with U.S. endorsement. China used it in its western provinces. Israel used it in the occupied territories, and so it runs throughout the world. For the United States, it's now a pretext to implement the national security strategy and also to discipline the population. That's going on all over the world, from democratic societies to dictatorships, under the same pretext.